Let's just bow our heads once more as we seek the Lord in prayer for this part of the service. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we turn to you this hour and we thank you for the many blessings that we have that you bestow upon us. Lord, we ask that you will pour out your Spirit upon each of us this hour and ask, Lord, that you will guide and direct us in our hearts and minds. In Christ's name, amen. I just noticed that I took Teresa's job. So if you will turn with me to John chapter 10, and we'll look at our scripture reading for today. Teresa, I owe you one next time, okay? John chapter 10, verse 11 through 15. John chapter 10, verses 11 through 15. John chapter 10, verses 11 through 15. The Bible says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches them and scatters the sheep. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and cares not for the sheep. But Jesus said, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so know I the Father and lay down my life for the sheep. Today we're going to look at the Good Shepherd, and we're going to look at the sheep at the same time and look at the relationship between the two. As we well know, as in the story of the Good Shepherd and the sheep, we can recognize in this verse that we are the sheep, aren't we? We're the sheep. We are the ones that, as the Bible says, go astray. We are the ones that turn aside. We are the ones that go in our own way. I'm reminded of a story something that happened to my wife and I while hiking in the Loma Linda Mountains one time. During our little walk through the mountains of Loma Linda, or the rolling hills of Loma Linda, we were coming up around our normal hike in the morning. It took about 40 minutes or so. And as we were going through the mountains and we came around a corner, we could hear all these sheep out there, herd of sheep out in the middle of the mountains. We can see on the top there was a trailer where a shepherd was taking care of his sheep, and these sheep were left to graze the grass out there. And sometimes the grass would get out a foot high or 2 feet sometimes, and many times if that grass doesn't get taken care of, there's many fires that pass through those hills. And it's been a while, but anyways, as we were coming around through the mountain, or that little walk on the road, and we came around a corner, we saw a whole herd of sheep sitting out there. I don't know, maybe 50 or 60 of them or so out there. And so we're coming around the corner, we hear them neighing, baa, baa, and we come around the corner, and we get a little bit closer, and we stop, and say, man, look at all those sheep, you know. I haven't seen that many sheep up here, and it's the first time I've seen sheep up here, and so we watched them for a little minute, and they were right on our little road as we were walking along, kept walking down the road, and heard the little sheep, and they had baa, louder, and the closer we took one step forward, and they would take another step backwards, and every time we got closer, they would walk a little farther back, and the closer we got, the farther they would get away. But at any rate, we finally got around a corner, and we got closer to these sheep, and right when we were about 20, 30 feet away from them, they all just jumped, and they took off running, except for one sheep, one sheep. And we sat there, and this one sheep was just sitting there frozen in the dirt. And all he could do is go, baa, baa, crying that he wasn't with the rest of them. So I got a little closer, and I got a little closer. And this poor sheep was so scared, he was just stiff. He wouldn't make a move. And he was just crying out, baa, baa, as if something bad had happened. He was left alone without all of his friends. And I reached out, and as reaching out to touch him, I reached out, and just at that moment, as I reached out, I took the beer box that was stuck on his head, and I pulled it off of him, and he took one look at me, and he ran the other way. That dumb sheep was standing there. Somehow, he had got his head stuck in a beer box. And there he was, frozen stiff in the middle of this field all by himself, while his friends had all taken off. He didn't know what was going on. He was just standing there. And as I walked up to him and looked at this pathetic animal with that box stuck on his head, I walked up there, took that thing off. As soon as he looked at me, he took a turn and ran the other way to catch up with all of his friends. That reminded me of this verse here today. All we like sheep have what? gone astray, right? We have turned everyone to his own way. Isn't that what the Bible says? All we are like sheep and we have gone our own way, you know? And I look at my life and sometimes I find myself with my head stuck in a box, not knowing where to go. Any of you ever feel like that? Your head is stuck in the box. And we say our head's stuck in the sand today, but an illustration of this story. Have you ever found your head stuck in a box somewhere and you just don't know what to do? You're afraid to death. You're scared. You don't know what to do. You're motionless. You don't want to make any motion because you don't want to make any mistakes. But you're afraid of the situation. So what do? We cry out for a Savior. We cry out for a Redeemer. Lord, help me. Lord, save me. Lord, do something in this predicament. And God reaches down, and he, by His love and compassion, He takes that box off to help us in our insecurity. And the moment we get a glimpse of God, we run the other way. Why is that? What is it about the human nature that when God begins to intervene and we begin to see action and movement in our life, all of a sudden we put the brakes on and we say, wait a minute, God, this is a little too much. You're going just a little too fast. What is it about us? God is desperately trying to save us, and yet we try so hard to save ourselves. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And I'm going to read part of the verse and we'll come back to it in a little bit. Isaiah 53 verse 6. The Lord has laid upon him the iniquity of what? Of us all. God has taken my iniquity, my sin, and placed it on the Son of God. Well, I'm going to leave you with that thought, with that story in mind as we look at this illustration today of this one lost sheep. Turn with me to Luke chapter 15, Matthew, Mark, and then Luke. Luke chapter 15, verses 3 through 7. Luke chapter 15, verse 3 through 7. Luke chapter 15, verses 3 through 7. Luke chapter 15 and verse 3 through 7. Notice what the Bible says here today. Jesus spoke this parable unto them, saying, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it? Now, there's a couple of things that you have to understand with this. You see, the shepherd, his sheep were his livelihood. If any of you have ever lost a $50 bill in your house, you don't go to sleep until you find that $50 bill. If you've ever dropped it in a park somewhere, you don't go home until you go back and you find that money wherever you dropped it. We can equate it the same way. In fact, the next story is the very same. A woman lost a coin and she swept her house until she found that lost coin or that silver piece. Well, this shepherd doesn't go to sleep, does not hesitate until he finds that one sheep that is gone. And as the Bible says, we are like sheep, what? That have gone astray. We are that one little sheep, that one sheep that has gone astray, that has taken off and left the fold. Many of us have fallen in this category. We could come to church, we show up on time, we pay our tithes, we pay our offerings, but in reality inside, we're sinking in a deeper and deeper pit, wondering if there's any hope for a sinner such as I. Now notice what he goes on to say here. Jesus says, what man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses but one of them, you leave the 99 in the wilderness, and you go after that one until you have found it. And when you have found it, you lay it on your shoulders, and you rejoice. And when you come home, he calls together all his friends, his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was what? Lost. You see, friends, God is the good shepherd. We are that lost sheep that when we leave the stray, God doesn't hesitate for a moment. He says, wait a minute, I'm going to leave those that belong in the church in the church, and I'm going to go out and find that one sheep until I bring him home. Amen? God doesn't leave us to live to our own demise. God doesn't let us live to our own destruction. God doesn't leave us behind to say, well, you made the mistake, you're the one that's the fool, go out there, you want to live like that, go right ahead. No. The moment that we make the mistake to choose to leave the sheepfold, God chases us down like a heavenly hound dog looking to find that one lost sheep. In your bulletin, you'll have a little insert. It's called The Good Shepherd. I want you to follow along with me this today. The Good Shepherd, it's found in the Gospel Workers, pages 181 through 182. It's called The Good Shepherd. I want to read this little quote here because it illustrates so finely the character of God and how much He cares for us when we fall astray or when we make mistakes in our lives. I don't know about you, but as a Seventh-day Adventist Christian, many times we find ourselves, man, I've blown it. You know, I've made such a big, huge mistake. There's never any opportunity that God will ever take me back, you know. I've really blown it. God doesn't, man, I know what's truth. I know the truth, and yet I don't follow it. I'm making all these mistakes, you know. God has this great expectation for me. In fact, Matthew 5:48 tells us to be perfect in heaven as our Father in heaven is perfect. And we look at that standard and we say, man, I must achieve, I must accomplish. But every day we come to the throne of God, every day we come to the foot of the cross, we recognize our inadequacies and we find out that we're less of the standard that God has for us. So what do? We beat ourselves up and we come to church and we hope that, man, one day the pastor's going to preach a good sermon. Maybe if I just give enough money, something's going to help me out here to make this change. But when in reality it's the concept that we have of God in our own mind, in our own vision. Notice what she says here, the Good Shepherd. Now, the prophet of God telling us about how God is and how He cares for us. Notice this, the second paragraph there. It says, in the parable of the lost sheep, the shepherd goes out to search for that one sheep, the very least that can be numbered, discovering that one of his sheep is missing. He does not look carelessly upon the flock. He does not look carelessly upon the flock that is safely housed and say, I have 99. It will cost me too much trouble to go in search of the straying one. Let him come back and I will open the door to the sheepfold and let him in. No sooner does the sheep go astray that the shepherd is filled with grief and anxiety. Leaving the 99 in the fold, he goes in search of the straying one. However dark and tempestuous the night, however perilous and uncertain the way, however long and tedious the search, he does not falter until the lost is what? Found. With what relief does he hear in the distance the first faint cry? Following the sound, he climbs to the steepest heights. He goes to the edge of the precipice at the risk of his own life. Thus he searches while the cry, growing fainter, tells him that the sheep is ready to what? To die. And when the straying one is found, does he command it to follow him? Does he threaten or beaten it? Does he drive him before him, thinking of the discomfort and the anxiety that he has suffered on its account? No, he lays the exhausted sheep on his shoulder. And with cheerful gratitude that his search has been not in vain, he returns to the fold. His gratitude finds expression in songs of rejoicing, and when he comes home, he calls together his friends, his neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found the sheep that was what? That was lost. Wow, what a picture of God. What a picture of a Savior, that though I may be a Christian and I fall away, God is out searching me out, trying to find me, trying to bring me back into the fold. And as I said it over and over and over again, God is more interested in saving me than I am to save myself. Wow. Point number one, God knows His church. Amen. God knows His people within the church. Boy, I'm sure glad that God knows His church. He knows it better than I do. He's got it more under control than I do. He knows you better than I do. Amen. Praise God that God knows His church. But the moment that that one person steps out of bounds, God is ready to redeem at that moment. Amen? God is ready to stretch out His arm of love and mercy and to pull that one sheep in that is deciding to take that one fatal mistake. Think of the son, the prodigal. The boy that took all the father's livelihood, he went out, he spent it all, he spent it on harlots and everything, and boy, he came to his misery, and he says, man, I'm going to eat the food that the pigs eat. What am I doing out here in the first place? I'll go home and seek my father, maybe he will bring about forgiveness. The moment that son began to go home, the father was eagerly seeking and waiting for his son to come home. Let's look at an illustration from the Bible of God's character. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8. Romans chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says this. Romans chapter 5, Acts, Romans. Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says this. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet what? Sinners, what happened? Christ died for us. You know what sin is? Sin is the transgression of the law. Well, we know that. And because of that transgression, it's caused upon us a great blemish, which we deserve, and that's death. Sin has caused a separation between God and humanity from the beginning of time. The moment that Adam and Eve chose to take the fruit, they sinned against God, caused a separation between God and humanity. And at that very moment, God did something very significant. While we were yet sinners, while we were in opposition to God, while we were separated from God, undeserving of his merits or his grace, undeserving of his perfect love, while we were yet sinners, what did Christ do? He died for you and me. Talk about profound love. Talk about adoration and desire to save his people. Amen? Talk about a desire to reach down and to open up a doorway of hope for those that are seemingly lost. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now let's go back and look at Isaiah chapter 53 and read the rest of that portion of Scripture there. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. Just before the book of Jeremiah, Isaiah 53 and verse 7. We just looked at 6, but Isaiah chapter 53, verses 6 and 7. All we like of sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Verse 7, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers, he is dumb. So he opens not his mouth. Wow. Jesus became a sheep on my behalf. Jesus became one of us to redeem us back to himself. Profound love revealed in this little story that God cares for sinners like me. Is that good news for us today? Does that bring hope to our hearts today? Can we hear this story enough? Maybe we've heard it too much. Maybe not enough. I don't know. But each of us must come into a contact relationship with Christ. We must stand before Jesus and say, "Yes, Lord, you are my God and Savior." We must accept him as our Lord and God or make a decision today. Every day is a decision. Because Christ, while I was a sinner, opened the door that I might enter in to receive life. That's good news. That's wonderful news. That's hopeful news. That while yet in my sins, Christ died for me. Interesting enough, it's not so much the story that transpired about Christ. It's what Christ chose to do. Turn with me to Luke chapter 22 as we begin to wrap this up today. In Luke chapter 22, we find an interesting story or an interesting reality in what Christ had done for us. Luke chapter 22, verse 44. Luke chapter 22 and verse 44. We see this magnificent role played out in Christ here in this story. In Luke chapter 22, verse 44, we read this. And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Here Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane steps into that garden knowing full well what's the next thing to transpire. Jesus full well knowing that the next thing to happen is that Christ or Jesus is about to go to the cross, knowing full well that his disciples would despise him, knowing full well that the weight of the sin of the entire world will begin to be placed upon him. My sin and your sin throughout all the ages would be placed upon him. Christ, knowing full well, Jesus steps foot into the arena at the Garden of Gethsemane. Amen? Jesus steps into that arena. It was right there at the Garden of Gethsemane that all things were to be weighed out. All things were to be put in its place. Whether or not I would receive eternity or whether or not I would lose eternity, God forbid. It was right there in the Garden of Gethsemane where Christ stepped in to that arena where all cases should be decided. It was there in the Garden of Gethsemane that Jesus began to feel that great pain of suffering, of separation between him and God. It was there as Jesus was praying, that, as it were, as it says, sweat of blood was coming from his pores. You talk about agony. You talk about pain. It was there that Christ's heart began to be crushed out. And as the Bible says, hey, don't get discouraged. I'm ad-libbing here a little bit. Don't get discouraged when you face trial or temptation. You haven't struggled unto blood like Christ. Jesus came under the most intense conflict of all ages. Jesus came under the most intense battle that any of us would ever take. Christ took my place, and there my sin began to crush out his life. Look with me to one verse prior to that. Here you see where Jesus makes the decision to die for you and for myself. It is here in the Garden of Gethsemane where everything was played out, where everything and all stakes were at hand. It wasn't on the cross, because at the cross the decision was made. But it was here in the Garden of Gethsemane where our lives were in the balance, and we see with certainty that Jesus took my place. In verse 42 of Luke chapter 22, the Bible says, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be what? Done. For one blip of opportunity, for one millisecond, God or Christ is looking to God and saying, God, let your will be done. Let this agony, let this cross, let this pain pass from me. But if there's no other way, Lord, let me drink of this cup. Amen. And it was at that moment, at that point, at that mark in history, where Jesus on the ground, while blood is pouring from his face, from his pores, while blood is coming down, Jesus with great suffering calls to the Father, let your will be done. Whatever is the final decision, as if to say our decision that we made from the foundations of the world, Lord, let your will be done. Christ knelt down and he said, Lord, let me die in the place of all those who should come to you. It was at that moment that Jesus made the greatest decision for all of us. Lord, your will be done. Amen. And we know the next thing that happened. What happened? Jesus stood up. Judas came. And Jesus was carried to the cross. You see, friends, it was there in the Garden of Gethsemane that God's love for you was revealed. It was revealed in a decision to die for all of us. A decision. Jesus went on to say to his disciples, greater love has no man than this, that he lay down his life for what? His friend. You see, God in all, everything, he was trying to expose his greatest love for you, willing to die for you, that you might gain what? Happier life in this world? pleasures in this life, a little more time. What was Christ trying to gain? What were the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit trying to achieve? Their accomplishment was to bring all of you back home into eternity to live with Him throughout the ceaseless ages. Where we left off with Adam and Eve, He was going to restore when He comes again. Jesus played the battle for us so that we didn't have to do it. And the Bible goes on to say, all we like is what? Sheep have gone astray. That's where we are. We are sheep stuck in a box somewhere. We are stuck in a box and we're waiting for God to deliver us. And yet He has centuries ago. We're waiting for God to take off that cover or that blindfold from our eyes that we can see His love, that we can see His mercy. But if we just take the opportunity to study His Word, to look in the Bible, we see God's ultimate plan for us. We see God's love for you and for me. It was in the garden where Jesus made the choice to die for you and I. Why? That you may have what? Eternal life. You believe on the Son, you have what? You have life. It was there where Jesus wanted to restore all things. Why? Because He loves you. Because Christ loves you, He was willing to make that decision. Because He was willing, He loves you. How valuable do you see yourself today? How valuable do you value yourself right now in God's eyes? How do you look at yourself today? Maybe we had to take a reality check and look through the eyes of God and just see how much He really does love us. Christ is the Good Shepherd. God is more apt to save you than you are to save yourself. But we have to be willing to step up to the plate and say, Lord, Your will be what? Be done. Are we willing to do that as a church today? Are we willing to do that as a people today? Are we willing to do that as individuals today? To allow God to take the blindfolds off of our eyes that we may look into His grace. Sister White encourages us that if we look at the cross daily, take an opportunity each day to look at the cross, our hearts will be changed. Are you looking for a revival? Are you looking for change? Are you looking for something different or something better? Maybe we have allowed religion to creep into our lives and forgot the simplicity of yet the gospel. Maybe we as a church have forgotten the simple things of life, such as drinking from the water that never runs dry, eating from the manna that never gets old. Maybe we're forgetting the simple things, such as the gospel. That Christ loved me so much, that God loved me so much, that He did what? That He died for me. You want a best friend? You want a relationship? Christ, then, is what? The answer. And He is the reason for our life today. Every breath, every eye blink, every heartbeat, we owe it to who? To God. Why? Because He loves us. So let me make this appeal to you today as Christians. Is Jesus standing at the door of your heart today and knocking? If so, will you take the opportunity again to allow that revival in your heart and in your life? Will you allow that change to come in? Will you allow Christ to be the Lord of your life instead of being the Lord of your own? Let God be your God. And choose today to serve Jesus, God, and just see how much He really does love us. Christ is the Good Shepherd. God is more apt to save you than you are to save yourself. But we have to be willing to step up to the plate and say, Lord, Your will be what? Be done. Are we willing to do that as a church today? Are we willing to do that as a people today? Are we willing to do that as individuals today? To allow God to take the blindfolds off of our eyes that we may look into His grace. Sister White encourages us that if we look at the cross daily, take an opportunity each day to look at the cross, our hearts will be changed. Are you looking for a revival? Are you looking for change? Are you looking for something different or something better? Maybe we have allowed religion to creep into our lives and forgot the simplicity of yet the gospel. Maybe we as a church have forgotten the simple things of life, such as drinking from the water that never runs dry, eating from the manna that never gets old. Maybe we're forgetting the simple things, such as the gospel, that Christ loved me so much, that God loved me so much, that He did what? That He died for me. You want a best friend? You want a relationship? Christ, then, is what? The answer. And He is the reason for our life today. Every breath, every eye blink, every heartbeat, we owe it to who? To God. Why? Because He loves us. So let me make this appeal to you today as Christians. Is Jesus standing at the door of your heart today and knocking? If so, will you take the opportunity again to allow that revival in your heart and in your life? Will you allow that change to come in? Will you allow Christ to be the Lord of your life instead of being the Lord of your own? Let God be your God and choose today to serve Jesus.